it's impossible to please God without faith. Really, that which is not faith is sin. God forbid that I should glory or boast save in the cross. Say, Pastor, what is God saying today? Here's what God is saying today. Shut up. That's what God's saying to you and to me. Shut up. Be still. Look. Aren't those strange descriptions of what God wants from me? Shut up. The Apostle Paul makes that very plain in the book of Romans. The law wasn't given to save anybody. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped. Shut up. Quit talking about your church and your membership and your baptism and your good works and what you've done for God. Shut up and trust God. You can't please God without faith. That's where we start. We do not have any confidence in ourselves. We embrace God, who He is, and what He has done in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's no salvation outside of that. In fact, if you're here and not a believer, you may be a church member, you may be a church-going person, but God is not happy with you at all. Because God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, and you have refused to bow and surrender and lay the shotgun down and trust His Son. This is my boy in whom I'm well pleased. So what does God expect? What is God's plan for you? What is God's purpose? Shut up. Just be quiet. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if you could just shut up? Close down all of those busy thoughts. Demons whisper in your ear. It can't be just by faith. You know, that preacher, you know, he ought to tell me something to do. I am telling you something to do. Shut up. Be still. And trust God. Too simple. Well, if that's so simple, why don't you do it? The last thing a man will do is trust God. Some of you in here have been sprinkled or poured or ducked. How's that working for you? Has that made you a new creature? Have you overcome the things that hold you captive? I'll tell you how you will overcome those things, through Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Be still. The gospel is the everlasting gospel. God has never saved anybody but by one way. God is a one-way God. And what God says is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. And no man comes to the Father except He comes smack dab through the middle of me. Well, maybe that isn't in the Bible exactly that way. But that's the interpretation. It's through Jesus Christ. If I were you, I would not try to approach God through law keeping. You've heard me say this thousands of times. I just kind of feel like there's somebody here that says that they are attempting to go to heaven through keeping the Ten Commandments. I'd like for you to stand up and tell me the Ten Commandments. Name all ten of them for me. I know if you're depending on them to take you to heaven and bypass hell, surely you know all ten. You have them memorized. This is years ago, but when I was in Kentucky, pastoring in Kentucky, I asked someone to name them. And this actually happened. They kind of scratched their head and they said, well, number one, every tub sets on its own bottom. I said, I don't think that's one of them. I think Grandma said that. What does God want you to do? If God is going to save you, He's going to save you by grace. You deserve, you don't want what you deserve. All I want what I deserve. If that's all you want from God, don't worry about it, baby. God will give you that. I don't want what I deserve. I want unmerited favor. I want God to do for me what I cannot do for myself. So God uses these terms, that every mouth may be stopped. Look unto me and be ye saved. Salvation's in a look. Can you look? Can you look today? Can you see one wounded and bleeding, four sinners bleeding, dying unheeding, dying for me? Can you see it? Can you enter into it? Can you embrace it? Can you say it's nothing but the blood? Can you say there's power in the blood, wonder-working power? Can you say there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains? God saved people in the Old Testament. It's the same way He does in the New Testament. They didn't have as much light as we have in the Old Testament. It was types and shadows in the Old Testament. And God did that so many times. For instance, when the children of Israel sinned against the Lord in the book of Numbers, and God sent fiery snakes to bite them. And then Moses interceded for the people of God, and the Lord said, make a brazen serpent and put it upon a pole. And all of those that are snake-bitten who look shall live. Well, wait a minute. I want a doctor. I want some snake-bite serum. You're going to die. Look and live. And Jesus refers to that in the Gospel of John. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Lifted up on the cross. It was a type. It was a shadow. Look and live. In the book of Exodus, the death angel was going to pass by. God was going to bring the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage with a high hand. And God said, here's what you do. Take a male lamb. Make sure it's not an old blemish lamb. It's not a leftover lamb. It's not a garbage lamb. Make sure it's a male lamb. It's young and it's without spot. Put it up for 14 days so you can examine it and make sure, because this is a type. And then you kill that lamb. Burn the flesh and take the blood and strike it on the two sides of the door lintel. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's a type. That's a shadow. But if Israelites had said, well, I don't know about that. I mean, he's wanting my best lamb. They believed God. And those that didn't believe God experienced death in the household. But when the death angel passed over and saw the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Without the shedding of blood, this is Old Testament, there is no remission of sins. Thousands of goats and bullocks were offered on the altar in Old Testament days, all with an index finger pointing to the Lamb of God who was going to come and die in the sinner's stead. And Father Abraham, Jacob, Isaac embraced that by faith and believed that the Messiah was coming who would take their place. We call that the substitutionary work of Christ. I so rejoice in this today, that God invaded history. Shut up now. I know you're talking to yourself. You're saying things to yourself like, that ain't right. That can't be right. If God saves you, He will save you all by Himself. And He'll do it by faith so you can't strut. You have to trust outside of yourself. Somebody outside of you has to invade you and cause you to trust Christ. That's called the Holy Spirit. And I pray He does that today. Somewhere in this auditorium. Surely there's a sinner somewhere in this auditorium. A sinner that needs a Savior. Say, Pastor, you're a little outdated in your message. This message is never outdated. This is God's everlasting gospel. This is the truth of this Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. This is what it's all about. There's never been any other way than by grace. You look at Father Abraham, the father of faithful, down in Ur of Chaldees. He was a heathen. He was a Gentile heathen. And God called him out. Made a great nation of him. And Abraham believed God. Not he believed in God. Everybody in here believes in God. Now you have some kind of God. In fact, the biggest thing in your life is your God. I'm talking about believe God. When God says, this is my boy, this is the apple of my eye, he's the way, the truth, and the life, trust him. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Trust him. Now I want you to go with me to the Old Testament. And all I want to attempt to do today is, why does God tell us to shut up and look? This is very simple. This is really simple. You can really get this. Why God says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Why God says, just look and live. Why God says, be still. See, if you're doing something, you're active, right? God doesn't want you to be active. Not in this situation of salvation. He wants you to be still, shut up, and look. And you don't get your head stuck in your belly button because there's nothing in there good. You look away from yourself. You look to the Christ of the cross and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why does God fix it that way? Why did God pour it in concrete? That every mouth may be stopped. So boasting is excluded. Totally and completely excluded. Listen, between here and heaven, you're going to lose your strut if you go. Between here and heaven, you're going to upchuck it. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe, sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. That's what you're going to say between here and heaven. You're sure going to sing it up there. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and praise both now and forever. Amen. When we all get to heaven, that's what we all are going to do. Right now, for the most part, that's what this church does. We're practicing. We're going to be in the big choir, and so down here we practice. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. This church, you know, we were this past week, I think it's 26 newspapers across Michigan on the front page. Guess who was on the front page? Clutch Cargo being changed to a church. Yeah. Tomorrow I will meet with three millionaire business guys that wanted to meet with me. And I will ask them for $500,000 to make sure we can finish what we've begun over there. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I got the estimates right here. This place is extraordinary for one reason, and I so guard it. Some of you say, well, he preaches the same thing all the time. That's right. And you know what? Why would I switch? If it's not broke, don't fix it. God keeps blessing. God keeps blessing. There's one reason for that. We give him all the praise and all the glory. We do. I want you to go to the book of Judges. Most of you have heard this story in Sunday school. I'm going to take about 15 minutes here. We'll tell this story again. And what I want you to get out of this is simply that God has always saved people one way. And this faith is a big factor. Faith. that is the gift of God. God gives you faith. It's a gift. It's all by grace. This whole thing, it's grace that puts you in the way, leads you along the way, and takes you all the way. And anything good that comes out of you, God put in you. Don't forget that. Don't be patting yourself on the back. You know, we look at this number, and we're going to hit that $1 million mark really soon. And if you just think a little bit, you're going to say, how do we do that? We didn't do that. God did that in us and through us. And it's a miracle. We have no millionaires in this church. Amen. Not yet. Let's go to Judges chapter 6. In the book of Judges is a story of Gideon and Israel and the Midianites. And in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianites 7 years. I don't want to do evil in His sight. The greatest evil you can do in the sight of God is just not give Him glory. Just not trust God. Oh, I know you're not committing adultery, fornication, or stealing, or that sort of thing. But are you giving God all the glory? Do you say, good morning, Lord? Or, good Lord, it's morning? Do you say, another day, another dollar? Or do you say, this is the day the Lord's made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. See, that's the way to live. That's the way Christians are supposed to live, having a little heaven on the way to heaven, praising God. He could have passed me right by. Sometimes we sing, pass me not, O gentle Savior, while on others thou art calling. Over here! He could have passed you by. Aren't you glad He didn't? You and I were on death row, condemned to hell. And King Jesus comes walking with the key of death and hell at His thigh. And He stopped at your cell. And if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You're free indeed. I love it when you're waving at me. I know you're getting it. They sinned against the Lord. And the Midianites prevailed. Israel hid in the mountains and caves and strongholds in verse 2. The Midianites destroyed all their crops. In fact, the Bible says they were like grasshoppers. There were so many of them. And they entered and consumed and destroyed everything. And Israel was impoverished, verse 6 says. And verse 7 says, and when it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet. And that too is God's way. And what that prophet did was he reminded them in verse 8, the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. So don't be acting like you did something. I did all of that for you. Verse 11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak. One of these days I'm going to preach on the trees that people sit under. Nathaniel was sitting under a tree, remember? And the Lord said, I saw you under the tree. The fig tree. I don't know what was going on under the oak tree. But God mentions the tree here. Look at verse 12. He's going to call Gideon. And He's going to talk to him. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I know Gideon did this. You talking to me? I'm a mighty man of valor? You got the wrong address. And Gideon said unto him, verse 13, O my God, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? If you're the Lord God, how come all of this has happened to us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, Gideon's still not getting it real good. Thou mighty man of valor. I read that and think, I know times in my own life when God has spoke to me and said, you're going to win. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to empower you. So get going. I've had the same thought. Who, me? Oh, you have too. I mean, it has crossed your mind. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the land of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Oh, what hope there is for America if God will send a voice. I believe that. I don't want to get off on that this morning because I would really chase that rabbit. But what America needs is a voice in this wilderness. A voice crying out. Verse 15, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. You ever thought that? I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. You know, God didn't come to save somebodies. In fact, He only saves nobodies. He only saves sinners. All you good people have no hope. There's no hope for you. If we can find some real bad folks here today, impoverished folks, some nobodies of this world, we got some good news for you. Where was I? Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Imagine that. That's all you need, you know. I'll be with you. If God be for me, who can be against me? And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So I'm going to perform a miracle. And of course, like many of us, don't be too hard on Gideon. Watch this. Verse 17. He's still a little shaky. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that you're talking to me. Well, the Lord was right in front of him talking to him, and he was talking back to somebody. Now he said, show me a sign. You know, you have to be careful about signs, though. You know, the Lord doesn't have to bargain with you. Once He tells you, He doesn't have to give you a sign. I mean, it's okay once in a while, but don't be always looking for a sign. But anyway, you know, He asked that the fleece first be wet, everything else dry, and then He reversed it. Put out the fleece, and God gave Him that sign. And then when you get down about verse 22, he's still thinking about, I'm going to die because I've seen God. Even though he has been given the sign, now he's talking about, I'm going to die because I've seen God. And I thought to myself, well, Gideon, God just told you that you were going to win the victory. He's not going to kill you if He's going to use you to bring victory. Listen, if God tells you something that He's going to do with you, count on it. He's going to give you victory. And you know what? Don't be telling too many people. You know, you start running around telling what God's going to do and you know what's going to happen. I remember when we raised 33 million pennies here, when we paid with quarters for this building, bought this property and paid cash, $275,000, raised $330,000 for the remodeling of the learning center upstairs. And I had 12 million pennies in my garage. And I was going to sell them to banks. And I went home to Her Majesty and told her, I heard this guy at the Rotary Club, and he was from the Mint. And I told him what we were trying to do. He said he was making pennies 7 days a week, 24 hours a day at the Mint. And I said, I have $12 million in my garage, and we're trying to do a learning center for our kids upstairs. And I thought while you were talking, I'd write the 20 largest banks and sell them our pennies. Miss Pam said something like, you know, she's a believer, but I was all hyped up about it. I wrote that, and you remember what happened? Two banks. Have you ever had a Brinks truck sent to your house? Have you ever raised 33 million pennies? Have you ever had pennies stacked up in your garage knee-high where you can't park either of your cars? God takes little bitty things. A loaves and a couple of fishes and feeds 5,000 men. You think about this. Some of you in here, I feel like God's called me, but you know when God calls you, you know the first thing the devil will remind you of? What you were doing 5 years ago. Or of something where you've really messed up. And your conscience will feed your fear. Ah, you know what I'm talking about. God ain't going to use me. How could God use me? I was a prostitute. I mean, how could... I was an addict, or I was a... God doesn't care about what you was. You're not what you was. You are now what you're going to be. Amen. Don't let your conscience talk to you that way. Gideon was having that kind of problem. Sometimes a deep sense of sin. I'll tell you something else, too. I thought of this when I was studying last night. Remember how Quentin used to tell about being under the bridge, heroin addict? I've had some people say to me, man, I wish I had that kind of testimony. You better be careful. I have no desire to say I was under the I-75 bridge for 15 years. Let me tell you this. If you were in church for 15 years, all self-righteous, happy with yourself, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and God went in there and got you, it's a miracle. Anybody here get saved in the church? Anybody get saved out of the church where God had to bring you out? Yeah, God will go into some of these churches and save somebody. It's a wonder. In most churches in America, people don't know what to do when somebody gets saved. You've heard my old joke. I've told it 1,000 times. My family says I need to tell some new stories. But an old boy, rough as he could be, got saved. And he wandered in one of these churches. I call it scary Halloween music. You know. Anyway, it was one of those highbrow churches. Well, the preacher said something about, you know, Christ coming into the world. And he got to amening. This old boy got to amening the preacher. Now, usher tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, you can't do that here. He said, but I got the Spirit. He said, I know, but you didn't get it here. It's a miracle when folks get saved in church. Church is a place where folks hunker down. Not this church. I'm not going to let you hunker. If you go to hell, you're going to go to hell very uncomfortable here. And if I can take salvation away from you, I'm going to do it. Because you never had it anyway. You cry out, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. All right. The Lord says to him, peace. Peace be unto you. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. Do you know you can't comfort anybody if you don't have peace yourself? You know, this is a great testimony. If God saved me, let me tell you a little bit about me. And you tell that person, if God saved me, He'll save you. Amen. You've got to have comfort yourself. You can't be looking at people like, you don't want to get saved like me, do you? There has to be a peace and a comfort. There has to be something about you that leads other people. Fear not, thou shalt not die. How are you going to die if God's for you? You know, fear will make cowards out of us with our conscience. You know that? Your conscience, which will cause fear about your past, tell Satan to get behind you. God's going to take you all the way. I know your mess. You say, well, how do you know my mess? Because I know mine. There are no people in here without mess. We all have mess. And the reason we don't see it is because we all hide it. Would you like somebody to see all your thoughts all day? Or what you thought while you've been sitting in here? You're not nearly as sanctified as you act. Well, all right. Anyway, it's a wonderful story. How God, 30,000 people, 30,000 men, Gideon has, and God says, your army is too big. So we got to get your army down. Well, I thought the Midianites were like grasshoppers. They are. You're going to have to cut your army. You just got too many. And God begins to cut the number all the way down to 300. And those 300 weren't real impressive. They lapped water like a dog. That's what God says. When they go down to drink, those that lap water like a dog, that's the ones I want you to take with you. Oh, I got my 300 here. You bunch of water lappers. I was reading last night. I was reading on, and in the 8th chapter, it says, the 300 men, Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing. Just a little off course here. But for those of you who are so being used of God, don't forget to take a little time to rest. They were faint, but they were still pursuing. You know, you can waterlog. Yeah. I know. I've experienced stuff like that. I have learned to some degree to get away, and Miss Pam helps me a lot with that. There are times when you need to. Even in, you know, I'm in the Lord's army. I never want a church where all of our members are busy every night. Stay home with your family. Amen. Take your wife out on a date. Amen. Really? These water lappers, what they were doing is they were busy. And that night, the night before, they had broke the pitchers and blown the trumpet, and the Midianites were all defeated. And they were wore out. You can get wore out. But anyway, this whole story has one purpose. When you read it, and there are many, many stories in the Scriptures just like this. I want you to look at Judges chapter 7. And here's the whole of it. Here it is. Judges 7 and verse 2. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands. There's too many. Watch this. This is what I want you to get. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying my own hand hath saved me. God said, I can't give you the victory. You get to thinking with 30,000 plus men, you get to thinking you did it. So I'm going to cut it down where it's going to be impossible. Humanly speaking, impossible. You know, usually when God shows up, it's when you're laying flat on the floor. When you've hoisted the white flag. Because if He saved you with you having your fingers in the pie, you'd take a little credit. I'm going to bust your bubble right now. There are people in here that actually believe that your free will saved you. That God did everything except violate your will. You better hope God violated your will. You better hope God made you willing. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. How has your free will worked for you? How's it working? Oh, I'm saved, but I know this, it was by the grace of God. And I know there was a time when I was dead. I wasn't dead to sin. I was active in sin, but I was dead to God. Leave me alone. Keep your hands off me. I'm going to do as I please. I'll be the captain of my own ship. How'd that work for you? You worked so hard, you ended up in a homeless shelter. Something got a hold of you, you couldn't turn loose. Aren't you glad there's a power bigger than crack, bigger than heroin? I hear folks talking about crack around here, and I'm on this crack thing a little bit, but I haven't used the word. I promised you I wouldn't. But it's not like this. Crack and Christ, same power. No. Crack is a demon personified, but Christ can wipe that out with His pinky. Think about this. Think about what praise God gets. Think about this. You know, I pick on Wanda all the time and Space and some of you in here that deserve to be picked on. I tell people this all the time about Wanda. She gets happy sometimes in here. And I say this to them. If God had brought you where He's brought her from, you'd be happy too. Christians ought to be happy. Because I should have been in hell. I should have been dead a long time ago, sleeping in my grave. But God, in His infinite wisdom and providence, and in sovereign grace, why would He save somebody like me? You know, I've been trying to figure that out now for about 60 years. Ooh, 61 years. I think I got the answer. Because He wanted to. I mean, that's about all I can come up with. Because He wanted to. This is how He shuts us up to this thing of faith alone and not vaunting ourselves. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And whom I will, all hardeneth. Oh, you already hard. You already have that hard heart. But you know, God can be just. God can save you or damn you and still be just. Amen. God found a way to go down into the coal mine of sin and lay hold of you and not get Himself dirty. Isn't that something? Go down into Lodibar. Go down into the hood. You wallowing around down there in that garbage and take hold of you. When we had the bus stop in front of the mission, God brought you all the way from Lodibar and left you out right in front of Grace Centers of Hope, and you thought you got lucky. Shut up. God's brought you all the way. Hadn't He brought you a mighty long way?